So, we're looking at creation today, and we're thinking about various parts of creation and what God has done and how we look after it. And one of the things is interesting is how we have interacted with creation ourselves over the years. So I wonder if we could find some answers, some questions about our world. So is anybody willing to share when they have been to somewhere really high up in God's creation? Who's ever been somewhere really high up in God's creation? Put your hands up. Yes, Rosie.
The Rockies.
The Rockies. They are high. Yeah, and at the back?
The Orkney Isles.
The Orkney Isles. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Okay. It's going to be one of those mornings, is it? Fantastic. Has someone been somewhere really beautiful in God's world? Maybe someone in the balcony, or as well as people there. Somewhere really beautiful. This is a nice open question. Yeah, Dan.
Malaya and Borneo.
Malaya and Borneo. Fantastic.
The Isles of Scilly.
The Isles of Scilly. Ooh, yes. The Great... Did you go under the water? Ooh. We'll have to have a chat after again. We'll see what that's like. Yeah, well, beautiful.
Erith.
Great Barrier Reef, Erith. I can see where the logic was. Has anyone been to a place in nature that felt really scary? Yes, right at the back there. Where have you been that's been scary? Whose house is that? I'm going to come a bit nearer so I can hear. Whose house? Oliver Cromwell's house. Yeah, that sounds a little bit scary, doesn't it? Because he perhaps was a bit scary too. Any other scary place that people have been? Yeah.
We went to Kaminagawa, the rainforest in central Malaysia.
And into a muddy cave.
Mm. And into a muddy cave. Yeah, I'd rather go to the Barrier Reef. Yes, at the back. Oh, really? Nasty, very scary. Yes, one further one at the back there, yeah. Caves is coming up quite a lot, isn't it? My scariest place is a place called Chimera Gopher, which is a little bat cave in Nepali. I went in the big entrance. He said, should we go out the back way? And the back way was a small tunnel. You'll be fine, he said. You're quite thin. Brilliant. What about the most exciting wild animal that you've seen? Outside of Erith, obviously. Most exciting wild animal. Yes, wild animal. At the back. Cheetah.
Tiger.
Elephant. King cobra.
King cobra. Oh, I had a brown bear somewhere over here. Brown bear.
Humpback whale.
Ooh. I was waiting for Chihuahua to come up, but that's obviously a different question. And lastly, a place in nature that makes you feel calm.
The Fens.
The Fens. With the big skies. Anywhere by the sea. I'm waiting for Erith to come back again, but that's not.
Simbersham Lake.
Ooh, I like the little sort of ooh for those who think I might not be able to get to the Great Barrier Reef, but I can go there. Our reading today is a familiar passage, and one which you will be not surprised to hear as we talk about God's creation, as we journey back into Genesis 1. And again, I'll do the reading where it says leader, and if you want to do the words that says all, that would be great. Let's rewind back to the beginning. No birds tweeting. No earth spinning, formless, nothing till the day God's word and spirit combine to say, light, and there was light. It was a good light. It was from God. Somehow there was water, but it had no limits. So God set some boundaries within it. Once evening and morning had sailed on by, he divided the heaven and earth with the cry, sky! And there was sky. It was a good sky. It was from God. Then God reached out his creative hand to pull back the sea, revealing land. He wanted to see diverse vegetation, food and colour for every generation. Plants. And there were plants. They were good plants. They were from God. Now God wanted rhythms, day and night, seasons and patterns, shadows and lights. So he set the stars and moons in place and called with joy and delight on his face, sun. And there was sun. It was a good sun. It was from God. God looked at the waters and looked at the sky. He imagined sea creatures and things that fly. All shades of colour, both huge and small. And each appeared as he smiled and called fish and birds. And there were fish and birds. There were good fish and good birds. They were from God. And he turned to the land God saw in his mind. Creatures and critters of every kind, tame and friendly, wild and wondrous. At his voice there appeared in abundance animals. Then there were animals. They were good animals. They were from God. God, the Trinity, said we need people like us, male and female, united in love, reflecting our nature, caring for earth. So with one word, God brought to birth humans. And there were humans. They were good humans. They were from God. All God made, it was very, very good. There were trees for shelters and plants for food. The gifts of creation were enough to share. God blessed that day and with a whisper declared, rest. And there was rest. It was a very good rest. It was from God. We have talked greatly already about how wonderful creation is. And it is a wonderful thing. From the subtle beauty of Erith to the majesty of the Great Barrier Reef. From the places we've been and the places we'd love to go. From the galaxies to the gnats. From the big to the small. But there is something about our world that we have to acknowledge. And that is that it is groaning. When we look in Romans, we find Paul says this in Romans 8. We know that all that God created has been groaning. It is in pain as if it were giving birth to a child. The created world continues to groan even now. And the earth groans because of us. The earth groans because of the stresses and strains that we have put on it. We're going to have a few moments to turn to the person next to us and to try and answer that question, which I think will appear on the screen with any luck. Here we go. How is creation groaning? How have we messed up the earth? So turn to someone next to you. You've got 2 or 3 minutes. How do you think creation is groaning as Paul speaks to Romans? You've got about 3 minutes, so have a little chat. Okay. Would anybody like to share an answer? How is creation groaning? How have we messed up the earth? Well, we'll start off on the balcony, because they are in the balcony. How have we messed up the earth? Right, so you've got lots of things there, haven't you? You've got forest fires, you've got pollution, and some other ones as well. That's fantastic. Other ways in which the earth is groaning or we've messed up the earth? Yeah.
Concrete.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Don't tell 60s architects that, but because they like concrete. Yes, what have you got? Greed. There is enough for everyone's need, perhaps, but not enough for everyone's greed. Any other ways in which...
War.
War, yeah. Yeah, you look at the devastation that caused by war, and not just the physical misery, but also the environmental destruction.
Lack of respect.
Lack of respect for nature. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So at the heart of much of our damage is the I want and I need. we could go on and we could go on, and we'll have a little reflection a little bit later. But there is a sense in which we, before we can care for the environment, we need to soften our hard hearts, don't we? And start to acknowledge that we have part of it. As we sing the next song, which talks about compassion, give God an opportunity to ask yourselves, what is God saying to me about what role I play in caring for this world? What can I do? I might not be able to stop war, but I can help with pollution. I might not be able to change some things, but I can change others. So let's stand as we sing and make this, in a sense, a prayer. Because ultimately, we may know the problems, but do we have enough compassion to try and deal with them? How tidy are you? If I made an impromptu inspection of your homes, how would it be? I'm not going to, by the way. Don't fret. But if I did, how would it be? And the question actually is, how tidy am I? Every Sunday I come to church and I bring my stuff with me. I've got books, I've got my guitar, I've got my bag. And I always put my bag on the side. Have you noticed that? Yeah, see, some have. And if you look at it now, for those in the balcony, let me describe to you, it's a brown leather bag. I've not really tied up the buckles, have I? I've not really tucked it all away. I've shoved stuff in there and rushed onto the stage. And that's okay, isn't it? But if on a Sunday morning I thought, oh, no, I can't be bothered to really put that on the chair. I'm going to put that bag down here. It's nearer for me. It's fine. It's okay. I might get a few comments, mightn't I? Mm-hmm. And if I said, actually, that's a really good place for my bag to go, and to make my life easier on a Sunday morning, I'm going to put a little chair here, because sometimes I need to get tired, and that's absolutely fine. And then, well, should I move the table? Would that look a bit, would that look neater there? No, but I might want to talk to someone after the service, so can I just borrow this other chair? That would be fantastic. But there's not really room, so let's put it on top of there, and that looks fine. And if I decide at the end of the service that I wanted to go home and watch reruns of Antique Roadshow, and didn't clear it up, and then over time, I just put more and more of my stuff. So I've got some books that I don't really use a lot. It'd be a nice place to put them. I could put my guitar case, that'd be nice. More room in my office. Over time, what would happen would be, apart from being told off by everyone, people would learn not to use that door, wouldn't they? You'd say, well, we'd like to go in the back hall, but Simon's stuff is in the way. And as time goes on, that door probably seize up and stop working. And in the end, you'd find that door became a non-door. Whoops, like that step is a non-step. And the reality is, the way we have treated the world can be a bit like that sometimes. It's a small thing that leads to another thing, that leads to another thing. So, the world is half a degree hotter. Is that a big deal? Well, so the door is blocked. Is that a big deal? Yeah, it is. And little things over time create bigger things over further time. Because eventually, if we never use that door will probably just seize up, won't it? And it will never be good. And yet God created the world, as you have arranged this building, with a purpose, with a balance. There's a door there for a reason. And if some foolish minister thinks that he can just put his stuff there, then he's wrong. And yet in many ways, we have. And of course, the worst thing about me blocking that door is not the inconvenience. The worst thing is a fire exit. And actually, to a degree, we have reached that point where we are risking everything. And so we're going to come to a moment now when we say some prayers of confession about all our role in the world. The world is groaning. It's still beautiful, but even the Great Barrier Reef, there are issues with that. Even a place like Erith, there will be issues with noise pollution, sound pollution, and new houses being built. There are ways in which we are slowly but surely altering the beautiful way that God made the world. And we need to say sorry for that and think what we can do. So we're going to say a prayer together as we reflect on our role in that. I'll say the words, listen to them, and then we can say amen at the end. Let's pray together. God, we have messed up your beautiful world. When we look at what we've done, it makes us sad. We believe it makes you sad too. Forgive us how we have treated your earth. Thank you that you do not give up on us. Receive your forgiveness. Fill us and work with us to make your world whole again. And we all say, Amen. Amen. And there are some practical things that we can do together. We mentioned some of these already. Reducing plastic, less packaging, grow your own, which is particularly good around this sort of fertile area. Think about transport. Challenge your school or workplace into a caring more for the environment. We each have a role to play to keep this earth beautiful and wonderful for the coming generations. What that is, God needs to speak to us about. But there may be one of those that we can make a difference. Every small difference does help. So let's pray together. Lord, for the times we feel powerless to help keep this world beautiful, we pray you'll give us the courage to change. For the times when we make a choice that can be easy or difficult, and the difficult helps your world, help us to have the courage and the power and the strength to make those hard choices. Help us to reduce plastic. Help us to use less packaging. Help us grow your own. To think about transport. Because this is your wonderful world. Your gift to us. And we don't want to mess it up. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness that we have from you. Knowing that we know we can go forward from here. Not feeling guilt, but feeling hope. That's the graciousness of who you are. That love you give us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing.